your 9-month-old daughter has a tumor on the brain. And then you meet an angel. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I can't wait to find out what the churches have to say. Vicki, in 1971, you have a bouncing, beautiful little girl, Jennifer, but...
They start running blood tests as they normally do. One was for PKU, and it's the body's inability to break down protein. Causes mental retardation. They started running all...
That's a pretty scary thing for a parent to have.
Very. She was so beautiful and perfect to us. And so they had to just keep running these blood tests. And they told us that she would be retarded. But...
You had two normal children.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when we took her home, she appeared to be just fine. But she cried a lot. And as she began to grow and crawl, she began to have these seizure-like activities to where she would have so much energy that my husband and I couldn't even hold her down when she would have these seizures to keep
her. Phil, you're a pretty strong individual. You're in construction. Maybe, I don't know, do you bodybuild or something?
No.
Just the construction.
Just the construction.
You couldn't hold
enough.
Down your infant daughter?
Well, a small child like that, it was almost like she was a fish out of water. You know how they just twist and turn, and it's hard to hold on to them. And we had to keep her protected so that she didn't hurt herself, throw herself against something. And in our arms, she would just twist and turn, and she was so hyper, but...
You must have felt pretty helpless. Here, this little baby that's yours.
Well, we didn't have any idea what was exactly wrong with her. Hmm. They had diagnosed her with a PKU, but then later on, they kept running the tests, and the doctor said, well, the state regulates this, and they said that the test score, however they do the test, was just borderline. So they weren't going to give her this, it's a certain formula mm-hmm. that a child has to take if they have this, so that it prevents them from getting the retardation and keeps them from having the problems that a PKU baby has. I don't understand the whole
situation. But things
situation.
Started getting worse. What happened?
Right. As she began to start walking, she walked at a very early age mm-hmm. compared to the other two. Then she would run from one side of the room to the other, just endlessly. There'd be 4 and 5 days and nights when she would show no sign of being sleepy or tired. We'd have to take turns just staying up with her to care for her. And at that time, we had to take her somewhere else because we knew something more was going on. So our doctor referred us to KU Medical Center Kansas City, Kansas. So we took her up there, and we were there a full week of just endless tests that were just torturous. They would, I'd be
really
holding.
Torturous to you or torturous to
both,
her?
Both.
They Why was would, it torturous to her?
Oh. Because she didn't understand what was going on, and they wouldn't let us in the rooms with her.
She was just, what, 9 months old, or?
About, yes, yeah, right at nine months. And they would tear her out of our arms, screaming. She was so afraid. Take her into these rooms, and they put needles into her. They were doing all these things that she didn't understand why, and we had to stay outside the room and hear her. And it was just agony. to go through that. And they ran quite a few tests and x-rays and things on her brain. And then they came out and told us that she had a brain tumor. And the position that it was in, it was very doubtful that she would live.
How did you take that news, Phil?
Well, it was such a shock that it just kind of, you didn't know what to think. You didn't know who to trust. Like she said, they had taken her out of our arms, and of course she was scared. And they poked her with needles, drawing blood for different tests. And it was just like, it was unreal what was happening.
It's supposed to happen to someone else. It's not supposed to happen to you.
Yeah, it's just couldn't believe it.
So, Vicki, what happened next?
Told us they could do an experimental surgery on her.
That doesn't sound too good.
No, it was laser surgery. Back then, that was very new. But they would have to position it just right, or she could die. And if she lived through the surgery, she would more than likely be a total vegetable.
So if you don't do the surgery, she dies. And if you do the surgery, right, she'll be a vegetable?
Mm-hmm. She'll never be able to learn.
That's an awful choice. What did you opt for?
We decided to go ahead with the surgery. And they told us we wanted to bring her home for the weekend to be with her sisters, not knowing whether, you know, she would ever come home again. We brought her home.
Did the doctors say it was okay to bring her
home?
Yes,
but to be very careful with her, because if she bumped her head, it'd be all over. She would die instantly.
That sounded pretty risky to even bring her home. I'm surprised you did that.
I think it was the Lord giving us this peace about bringing her home, and it was an urgency that we felt inside that we needed to.
How'd her sisters take to her? I guess her sisters might not have even known what was going on, or did they?
They pretty well did.
They did?
Yes. And they knew they always had to be careful with her. And they were very careful with her when we brought her home. And my sister, Doris, had come over that weekend and was watching the other two girls while we were in Kansas City. Well, while we were home, she just seemed to get more and more agitated. So we all were taking turns entertaining her, you know, cuddling her and all that. And while we were home, though, there was a knock on our door.
Would you hold that thought? Mm-hmm. While they were home, there was a knock on the door, and you're not going to believe. Yes, maybe you will. Such a credible couple. And this is documented. This is amazing. We'll be right back. Find out what happened from that knock on the door. Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with Vicki and Phil Church. Their daughter, tumor on the brain. If she operates, she becomes a vegetable. If they don't operate, the baby is dead. Not much of a choice. They bring the baby home so the older children can be with their sister for perhaps the last time. And all of a sudden, and by the way, if they drop the baby, Jennifer, she dies. Very careful, the doctor said. So the whole thing was just unreal. It shouldn't happen to a nice family. And there is a knock at the door. And who answered the door?
I went to the door, and there was a gentleman standing on the porch. We lived close to the highway, and he was dressed in rags, and he'd been on the road several days. You could tell he had several days' growth of beard, and he was shabby,
just what
dirty.
You need. I mean, tell me the truth. Yeah. Did you think in your mind, oh, no?
Well, we'd had several people come to the door before, you know, right on the highway. And so it wasn't uncommon, but most of the time we were a little leery. For some reason, I didn't seem to have that much concern with this person.
Now, tell me how he looked.
Well, he was dressed just shabby, had a hat on, he kind of dirty from the road, and he asked for something to eat. He said, "Would you give me something to eat if I sweep off your porch?" And I said, "Well, you don't have to sweep the porch, but sure, we'll give you something to eat." And so he said, "Well, I'd feel better if I swept the porch." I said, "Okay." So I gave him a broom, and my wife went in to prepare something for him, and she brought it out.
Vicki, you certainly must have been a little like, "I'm not now, not my daughter's home. She's going to who knows what." Did you have any of those thoughts?
No.
No?
None.
Why?
Whatsoever. It was incredible. Because it was like he was supposed to be there. It was like he was a welcome guest in our house. It was just so strange. Because like he said, we'd had other people come to the door, and sometimes you just didn't even answer the door. But this man, it was like he belonged in our living room.
Strange. Very, to me, anyway.
Very.
So what happened?
I brought the food out, and he ate just a little, not very much. And when I started to take the plate back, my husband had talked to him about Jennifer and what had happened to her and what was going to happen. Well, Jennifer was so terrified of everyone that she wouldn't even go to relatives, just
because of all the treatment she had and just wanted to be with mommy and daddy.
That's right. And all of a sudden, she was across the room, and all of a sudden, she just toddled right across the room.
What? If she falls, she could die.
Right.
You let her just toddle across the room to the stranger?
Yes. We were just so stunned because she was not afraid. And she walked up to him, and she just reached up her arms to him. And at that point, we were totally stunned.
I can imagine. So what did he do?
He bent down and picked her up.
You let him? You're the mother. I would not. How did you let him do that?
Well, it was kind of a surprise to begin with because she wouldn't come to strangers. And he just bent down and reached for her.
Kind of happened too fast for you to even process.
Right.
And he just took her in his arms, and she seemed to accept it. And he started talking to her, you know, and he just reached up and he touched her head. And he says, "Little angel, you're not going to have that operation." And it really didn't hit me, you know.
What did you think when he said that?
I was just standing there in amazement.
So you're not, he says, "Little angel."
Yeah.
Angel. Little angel, you're not going to need that operation.
Yeah,
okay.
Said that. And he just kind of touched her on the head. He just felt her head, you know, and he says, "You know, little angel, you're not going to have that operation." And he put her back down and he says, "I've got something for you." And he reached in his pocket, and it was probably the only money he had from the looks of him, but he gave her a nickel. He says, "Here, you take this nickel." And then he turned around and he says, "Well, I've got to be going now." Something to those words. And he started out the door. My wife had went to take the plate back in the kitchen. And just seconds was all that could have passed. But he walked out the door, and my wife said, "Where did he go?" I said, "Well, he just went outside. Do you need to catch him for a second?" "Well, you know, I'd just like to see, you know, say goodbye to him or whatever." And so we went out the door, and we're right there on the highway, but everything is fairly open to where, and we couldn't find him anywhere. And he had not had time to get out on the highway and catch a ride.
Are you telling me he disappeared?
He just vanished.
You really believe that, too?
I believe it.
It was just, it wasn't
an artist did a sketch.
Yes.
of this man.
Yeah.
Tell me about that sketch.
Well, my wife had, we had been going to some Lowell Lundstrom ministry crusades that he'd had.
Marriage
and,
seminars.
Yeah, they were marriage seminars. And they, we had told them about the story, and just in conversation, and they had, one of the ladies that worked with the ministry,
Gloria Lundstrom, had me share the story at the seminars several times.
Ahead.
And so they wanted to put it in their magazine, and I had told her about the man and what he looked like, and that he had a plaid shirt on. That was so vivid to me, that plaid shirt. And so as they were printing up the story, getting ready for the magazine, they send their descriptions off to an artist, and then he does the layout for the artwork.
How close was the rendering to the way the man looked?
It was exactly. It was that man.
Exactly. Did you hear that? It was exactly. Hello, Sid Roth here. This is getting very strange. I mean, a stranger comes in, the little girl who is afraid, Jennifer, afraid of everyone because of what she's been going through. If you drop her, she dies. The parents let this man, who looks like a hobo, a bum, literally, hold your baby, who, if she drops, is dropped, that's the end of her. He goes outside, he says, little angel, you'll be okay. He goes outside, you look outside, there's nowhere for him to have gone. He's gone. You have an artist draw a picture of this man. How close did the picture look like him?
That was him. It was
that
perfect.
Was him.
Right down to the flannel shirt. It was absolutely the same man.
And our guest next week says that's a picture of the angel that he saw. All right, the big question is, your daughter, what happened to Jennifer?
Well, naturally, she'd been used to being held and cuddled and taken extreme care with. And so she was a little used to that. And of course, she still was a little bit hyper, but the symptoms seemed to disappear pretty quickly after that.
The same night?
Well, from that point on, yes. We could tell a difference. She was still a little hyper, but not near what she was, and it passed away fairly quickly.
She slept.
Was that good?
She started
night.
Sleeping.
Was she not sleeping?
No, she'd go 4 and 5 days and nights. With
four
no
and five
sleep.
Days and nights?
That's right. Yeah. We'd have to take turns with her, staying up with her, because she didn't even appear to be tired.
So you take her back to the hospital. Did you know that she would not have to submit to the surgery as you're taking her back, or where were you
at? No, we really
at?
Didn't. But we we had a good, strong faith in God, and we had been praying for her. But we took her back, and they took her in the room again and started all these tests. They had to know exactly where to go with the laser. So pretty soon, doctors and nurses started running in and out of there, and we got really concerned at that point. And her main doctor came out, and he just shook his head, and he says, I cannot explain what's happened, but he said, all I can tell you to do is take your daughter home and raise her like a normal child. We cannot find anything wrong with her.
Oh, come on, now give me a break. She was supposed to have surgery that she'd end up being retarded or a vegetable, as you put it.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden they say, send her back. Didn't they have a better explanation than that?
They could not understand it.
Get me another doctor!
Well, we had seen the x-ray, and it showed a mass in her brain. And when we took her back, the doctors couldn't find it. That's
where to
all
go?
There is.
Where to go?
God healed her and took it away.
Okay, that was back in 71.
Right.
Tell me about baby Jennifer today.
Today she has graduated from high school with top grades. She graduated from college. She's married now.
The one that would have been a vegetable
That's
or
right.
dead.
That's right.
Thanks to this
miracle.
No, was this an angel?
Yes.
Was this an angel?
It had to have been.
Any doubt?
No doubt whatsoever.
Any doubt?
No.
You have a favorite scripture. What is that?
It's
Hebrews 13. You know, I knew it in my head. Like I said at the time, we believed in God, but as far as scripture goes, we didn't know, but we'd heard. And I just knew this in my mind, entertaining angels unaware. And I looked it up, Hebrews 13th chapter, and it said to
entertain a stranger because
to be
could be
friendly
an angel.
That's right.
To strangers, because you could be entertaining angels unaware. And I looked that scripture up and read it to my wife.
Now, your faith must be zoom.
Yes.
Let me, you know, you told me that you have a lot more prayer children. What did you mean by prayer children? What did you mean by that?
God has given me, a special gift to pray for women who have been told they cannot have children.
Well, there's a lot of women that are
right.
watching us right now like that. So how many women have you prayed for that were told medically they can't have a child that had
Nine.
Children? Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for 10?
Oh, yes.
Do you really believe that if there are women watching that cannot have children, assuming they're married, of course,
right.
and want to have children, that you can pray and they will have children?
If God directs me to.
Does God direct you to pray right now, Vicki?
I'd like to, yes.
Would you look right at them and pray?
Okay. If you're wanting a child right now and the doctors have told you there's no hope, there is hope. There's hope in God. You believe what the Bible tells you, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is a healing God. So whatever is preventing that, we just call it healed in the name of Jesus. You reach out to God right now in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this. Father, we know that there's one right now that's kneeling and crying because she desires a child so much. She's lost a baby. Father, we ask you right now to restore what the enemy has taken. Lord, we thank you that even as we speak, she may already be pregnant. Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory.
In Jesus' name. And you know what I know? I know something about you. I know that God answered that prayer. I don't think it. I don't hope it. I know. Vicki, you know it too, don't you?
Yes.
You know it. Mm-hmm. I know it. Mm-hmm. I know it. We want you to write us as soon as you get that good news. But I also know something else about you. I know that there are people that you are watching me right now because God is calling you to come closer. Closer to Him than you've ever been before, to know God, to walk into your destiny. There is a purpose for your life. Yes, you, there is a purpose for your life. Don't you dare think your life is wasted. There is an important purpose for your life, but first, you've got to know the one that loves you more than anyone else. And that is God the Father. And the only way you can know him is through the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. If you will pray right now, say, God, forgive me of my sins. Say it. God, forgive me of my sins. I believe that the blood of Jesus has washed them away. And now that I am clean, I make you my Savior and Lord. Lord Jesus, come inside of me. Take over my life. I love you, Lord. I've got to know you. I'm desperate to know you. Reach out right now as we go off the air. You begin to worship God You say, don't know how? Do it anyway, the best you know. He'll meet you. He will. He really will.